pray. Lord our God, we come to you ready and open to hearing your message for us today. Help us to be expectant and to be open and ready for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's just for a moment think of all the contacts that you have had with another human being already today. From the moment you opened your eyes this morning, we had contact with another human being. Maybe it's been a face-to-face encounter. The person who gave you the pew sheet, the person sitting in front of you or behind you, you smiled at, I hope, and said hello to. There's also the indirect contact. The person who made our breakfast cereal, picked the tea leaves or the coffee beans to make the tea or coffee this morning, worked on the construction of our car, because I'm sure most of us came by car this morning. If we were to count the number of people at this time of day that we've had some contact with, it'd be a significant number. But by the end of the day, a considerable number. With each of those people, we have a relationship. They come in different forms, and we live being dependent on one another. No one is an island. Isn't that how the saying goes? Relationships are a key element which enable us to live life. As you said, some are quite distant. We are unlikely ever to come face to face with the person who picked the tea leaves or the coffee beans. Other relationships are much closer. Mothering Sunday. It's become a time to remember and give thanks for mothers. Some of you may have already received a card or flowers or chocolates if you're very fortunate. But it's also, as Susie has said, right to acknowledge that today can be a difficult day. The absence or lack of a positive mother-child relationship, whether that's recent or in the past, reminds us that relationships can be difficult. They can be complex. They can bring pain. But part of what it means to be human means that we have human-to-human relationships. Part of it because we need each other. We need each other, but we have to acknowledge that often those relationships are flawed. The fall, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, are one of the ways in which we see about sin coming into the world. There are people who have decided to go our own way. We ignore God and make choices contrary to God's way. As we look at our readings today, let's think about relationships and God's way. Luke chapter 15, verse 13 says this. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. In that period of time, from the father giving the son his inheritance, the son has decided what he's going to do. He gathers all he has so that he can leave. Perhaps in taking everything he has, it's as if he doesn't want to leave any trace of himself behind and have no reason to return. Strikes me that this suggests his stuff, perhaps it was his possessions as well as his money, are of greater importance than the relationships he is abandoning. Then he puts physical distance between himself, his father, and his brother. There has been a change to the relationship. Is it a case of out of sight and out of mind? Well, I think maybe for the younger son it was, but the father? Verse 20. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion and ran. Just return to the son, who squandered his wealth in wild living. Out of the sight of his father, he lives it up, abandons the way of life which his father would have taught him and expected him to live his life by. So the son has decided to completely turn his back on the relationship he has had with his father, taking every physical aspect of his presence, putting distance between himself and his father, and then living in a way contrary to his father's way of life. Of course, this is a parable, a story told by Jesus. And there can be a danger in us taking every single individual part and trying to put a God slot to it. But I think it speaks something about us in relationship to God. For we turn away from God, we put other things in the place of God, and we do things that we know are not right. We have sinned. The world in which we live is a sinful place. There is injustice and inhumanity. Whilst this last week the winter night shelter closed, does not mean it's the end of homelessness in this area. It means there will be people sleeping rough on the streets tonight. Last week, as I stood against the wall dividing the West Bank from Israel, again, a potent symbol of the division of people based on religious and political grounds. This is not how God would want us to be living. And yet into this world God sent Jesus. Jesus came into the world to bring reconciliation, to be the means by which we come into relationship with God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to him through Christ. Jesus brings about reconciliation. The cross, a place of immense suffering, was necessary in order that our sin could be taken from us. Jesus' death took all we have done and will do, which mars our relationship with God. We are called to acknowledge the failure in living God's way, and to be reconciled to God. That's why Paul's able to describe those who are in Christ as a new creation. Jesus has done the work. The sacrifice has happened and the pain has been endured. Jesus' resurrection demonstrates something new has come about. A new creation. Reconciliation with God is now a reality. You and I can be in relationship with God because we can be reconciled to God. So we are a new creation. But, and it's a big but, whilst verse 18 says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Hopefully we can agree with that and rejoice. The verse then goes on to say, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He goes on to say, and he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We have a job to do, being reconciled to God, and therefore in relationship to God, leads us to being involved in the work of God as his ambassador. I don't know what picture that conjures up, an ambassador. I have in my mind, and I can't remember why, an advert about ambassadors. Cocktail parties spring to mind. The promotion of this country as a tourist destination or for business opportunities. Didn't have something to do with Ferrero Rocher at one time? Yeah, good, good. I knew it was there somewhere. That's how you might see an ambassador. But when you look at where the word comes from, it can be used in a similar way that we might speak of an elder statesman, a person with wisdom and authority. Does that change how we feel about being Christ's ambassadors? All of us who are a new creation in Jesus Christ are to be ambassadors. I'm going to state the obvious, we're not Jesus, but we are people who point or direct to Jesus. We have been reconciled to Jesus. We are in relationship to Jesus, and so we need to share that with those who do not have a relationship with Jesus. Trouble is, we then ask ourselves the question, how can I possibly do this? How can I be an effective ambassador? And then we come up with all sorts of reasons why we can't do it. I don't know enough. I wouldn't know what to say. I'm too scared. My friends, my family, they wouldn't listen to me, or they'll ridicule me. What can I do about injustice the other side of the world? If we're honest, most of us will have thought of all of these reasons and probably many more as to why we can't share our faith with all we have a relationship with. But Paul goes on to say, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. It's not up to us. It's God who works through us. We need to be open to God, allowing him to give us the words to say, taking the opportunities to speak and act in ways which demonstrates to those we are in relationship with, that we are Christians. A few years ago, I was part of a team which led an Alpha course. And near the end of the course, we were talking with a group of people who'd come along about what it was that had made them realize the truth of the Christian faith. One person commented on us as leaders. They said, well, whilst you spoke about your faith, it wasn't actually the words which had shown your faith to be real, but the way we were as people, the love we showed, the hospitality, the genuineness of our concern for them as people. This spoke of our desire for these people to know and experience the reality of a relationship with Jesus. reconciliation is a reality of Jesus. Relationship is a reality for those of us who know Jesus to be Lord and Saviour. What of those who we are in relationship with? How will we be ambassadors for Jesus in the week ahead? Don't worry about what we might say. Just tell God we are ready for Him to work through us. Be expectant that He will use us. Look out for those opportunities, and with God's help, take them. Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank you that as the Father saw the Son and was filled with compassion, so through Jesus, you have brought reconciliation for us. Help us in our relationships with one another, with all the people we come into contact with, all the indirect relationships that we have. May we be your ambassadors, showing and speaking of all that you have done for your world. Lord, we need your help. We cannot and must not do it on our own. Help us to be open to the Holy Spirit being at work in us and through us. Amen.